a sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rehm, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on June 29, 1986, entitled Leadership for Greatness. The scripture reading is 2 Timothy 1, verses 6 through 10. The text for the sermon is 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
For just a moment this morning, I want to focus on the matter of leadership, the leadership to which Christ calls us. There's a sense in which this is a special focus for those who are ordained and installed in office this morning. But in another sense, we are the people of God, and we are called to recognize that calling to be His people in the world for the effecting of His purposes and the bringing in of His kingdom. And so the word is not only to our officers, but really to us all. For God has called us and claimed us, and He equips us for service in the ministry of Christ. Leadership for greatness. Greatness not in the sense of the world's evaluation of greatness, but greatness in terms of servanthood. Greatness in the sense of awe before that calling. Greatness before the cosmic scope and the eternal dimension of that plan that He is effecting by His Spirit and His grace through us, the likes of us. As I think about leadership in the church, I found myself always saying one thing and then immediately thinking the other. When one talks about greatness, one immediately thinks about how the world evaluates greatness, and that's not what we're talking about, because we're talking about servanthood. We're talking about humility. And yet God calls us in our servanthood to be bold and to be confident. And yet that boldness and that confidence, that self-confidence that is necessary, is yet not a human thing, not of human origin. But if we read the lesson of this morning, we know that God has given to us a spirit not of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind, or of a disciplined life. And in that beautiful triad of graces, we recognize that the God who has called us has also graced us in order that we might be effective in the service of Jesus Christ in the world. For we are a special people. And whenever I say that, I want to say, but let's not take ourselves too seriously. But then I think the problem with the church is that maybe we have not taken ourselves seriously enough as God's people. It would be bad if we took ourselves seriously as individuals in our own right. I hope we can sit rather loosely with who we are and know that if the kingdom of God comes at all, it will come sometimes through us, sometimes around us, often in spite of us. And the likes of us with their clay feet and all of the foibles and the flaws that we have ought never to take ourselves too seriously. But we need desperately to take seriously that to which we are called. We ought never to be exalted in our own persons, but we ought to feel lifted up by that calling, by Him who calls us, and by the task to which He calls us to execute in His name. Greatness of service, greatness of leadership, is that which ought to be before our minds as the people of God, not only the elders and the deacons, but the whole congregation, for we are a pilgrim band that are called to live out, to make concrete in the world the kingdom that has already come, and to point to the reality of its full coming, its consummation in the future. And so Paul says to Timothy, who might have been a rather timid young man, one who is Paul's spiritual son in the faith, stir up that gift that is in you, that gift that is in you through the laying out of my hands. The church has forms and structures. It is a historical institution. This morning we have laid hands on those ordained. We will take the bread and the cup. We worship as a people. We have liturgy. We have governmental structures. We have all of those things. And we know that all of those things are not ends in themselves, but they do become the means through which the Spirit of God affects His purposes in the world. And so Paul said to Timothy, remember that gift. It is not just you. For we might someday say, who am I? But it is not just you. It is the fact that you have been claimed and called by God. You have been graced and empowered. And so Paul says to Timothy, don't forget who you are. Don't forget the gift that is in you, the gift that is in you through the laying out of my hands. You are ordained. You are called by God. I've shared with you before, but I remember that as a child sitting at the Sunday dinner table after the morning in which two brother-in-laws of mine had been ordained to office. My father was always rather solemn and sober about these things. I was just a kid. And actually, I think they were kids too, because this was a new church that was just organized, and this was their first experience in the consistory. But I can remember, I still remember and still feel in this part of me the seriousness with which my father looked at them and said, God has called you. God has called you. It's not just the whim of a congregation. It is not just an empty ritual that you went through this morning. God has called you. And so that what we do in the church, we must believe, we must take seriously as being the work of God through His Spirit who works in and through the structures and the forms of the church. And all of that is in order that we might exercise leadership in the world, being the people of God called to be the effectors of His will and the executors of His purpose in the historical scene of which we're a part. And so this morning Paul says, you have not been given a spirit of fear, cowardice, a craven spirit, but a spirit of power, linked beautifully with love and self-control, in order that you might exercise leadership in the body of Christ, and that the body of Christ might be a leadership people in the midst of the world, a sign of the kingdom that is coming. There's a book about leadership which really gave me the text of the morning. A distinction was made between managers and leaders. Managers are people who do the thing right. I've never been a very good manager. I'm never able very well to bring cosmos out of chaos. But there are people who are good managers. They can look at a mess and straighten it out. They can weave their way through a maze and find order and direction. Our world is characterized by the managerial mind and mentality very much in our world today. Politics, education, the church, corporate structures, managers. The managerial level is a critical level. A manager is a person who is able to do the thing right. Dotting the I's, crossing the T's, setting up the agenda, moving through it with a kind of direction and purpose, moving toward the goal, executing all of the details. The world needs managers. And managers are very evident in our world today. But if all the world has is managers, the world will be in trouble. What the world really needs is leaders. Leaders are people who do the right thing. Managers do the thing right. Leaders do the right thing. No matter what the cost. No matter if it's with the swim or against it. No matter if it's expedient or not. A manager takes the chaos and manages it. A leader looks at the chaos and seeks to transform it. And God calls us to be leaders. Not simply to accept the world as it is. Not simply to live with the human chaos of our human situation. but rather to be leaders who are visionaries, who are empowered by the Spirit, who see the human condition and see the historical scene, and by the grace of God offer themselves to be the transformers of it. Managers do the thing right, but leaders do the right thing. And God needs leaders, people with vision and courage, not with a craven spirit of fear, but with power, with love, and with self-control, that will commit themselves wholly to the effecting of the purposes of God, to the glory of His name, out of the context of the community, a community of praise, so that their service is simply the overflow of spirits that are offered up to the service and the worship of the eternal God. Every Christian being an alleluia to the praise of His name.